My name is Mansur Maciej Jachimczyk. I come from Poland originally. When I was a student, I was an activist and supporter and member of Solidarity Trade Union in Poland under communist times. Mm-hmm. So when martial law was imposed in Poland in 1981, I became a political refugee in England. Mm-hmm. In England I entered Oxford University, and at Oxford I studied theology. But prior to moving to Oxford, in my hometown of Krakow in Poland, I was studying comparative religion at the Krakow University, Jagiellonian University, and simultaneously philosophy at the Papal Theological Academy. Mm-hmm. At that time I was a Catholic. I was born in a Catholic family. It was already after I emigrated to England that I learned at Oxford about Jewish roots of my father, about the Jewish immigrants 400 years ago from Holland, who converted to Christianity a few hundred years ago in Poland, while my mother on her ancestor's side was Polish and Catholic. Mm-hmm. So for me at Oxford, the question of my identity, my religious identity, became to me quite important. I was after studying comparative religion in Krakow and philosophy, I was skeptical about many dogmas which were brought into my mind at the time of childhood through the church. So I wanted to verify and examine them in a more systematic and rational way. So to make a story short, as a result of my studies at Oxford and studying history of Judaism, history of Christianity, and history of Islam, and after studying the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, the Jewish and Christian writings, after studying Quran, I decided to convert to Islam. I realized for myself that Quran is pure prophecy, without human distortions which came into Hebrew Bible and into New Testament in the course of editing and re-editing them over many, many years. So that was the reason why in February 1996, when I was in Abu Dhabi, I decided to convert to Islam and to accept the Muslim name Mansur. Some role in it had my Chechen friends, with whom I talked a lot about Islam and traditions of Islam when I lived for 3 years in Moscow, and also 6 months of close friendship, I would say, and a lot of talks to Ahmed Dedat. This preceded my conversion after I made an intellectual decision in Oxford that that's the way I want to follow. Now I am no longer a scholar. I was at Oxford after graduation in charge of a research institute into a history of Polish-Jewish diaspora. For the last 20 years I have been an investment banker and businessman. I run my own investment banking company in Monaco, with a lot of business in Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and in Turkey. That's why I'm here now.
MashaAllah, that's a big change, of course. You converted to become a Muslim. How did becoming a Muslim change your life?
Well, first of all, it was quite a shock to my Polish and Christian friends and family back in Poland. So they thought that it was just a short time or short period of some mystical thoughts in my mind, but after 16 years of my life as a Muslim, they fully accept and endorse it, and they understand why I did it and why I had no other choice. In the Caucasus, when since 1996 I was the advisor to the Chechen government, actually in Georgia, I met my wife. She was at that time Christian, Russian Orthodox Christian. Her Christian name is Victoria. We married, and after 1 year of marriage, she also decided, already in Baku, in Azerbaijan, to convert to Islam, and she adopted the name Aisha. Our daughter was born in Tbilisi. Her name is Malika, and our two sons were born in Baku. Their names are Johar and Adam. So we decided to brought up and educate our children as Muslims, and they are living today in Warsaw. Our home is Warsaw, but I must say that our children are between 12 and 15, and with the Muslim names in Warsaw, in Poland, which is 90% Christian, they are not only tolerated, they are liked. There is no sort of tension between them and their friends and between us and our neighbors there. But certainly because of my conversion and because of my previous studies and because for 7 years I lived and worked in the Caucasus, also in the Northern Caucasus, I have to think about what bothers me, and what bothers me are deep divisions in Islam.
Yes.
Between Sunnis and Shias, within Sunnism, between Salafis and Wahhabis on the one side and the moderate Islam on the other side, between various schools of Sharia. But I'm predominantly concerned with how to challenge the radical Islamists and jihadists on the core of their thinking about what is right and wrong in Islam, and about their primary ideology that without creating a global Islamic state, Muslims cannot be really Muslims. And my study since the times when I went to the Caucasus go in the direction of what is the true and original sunnah on the issue of the social system in which Muslims should create and in which Muslims should live. To me it is clear that the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not create in Medina an Islamic state. He created in Medina what we know from the earliest written Sunnah, the so-called Medina Constitution, Dustur. He created a voluntary tribal confederation of some Muslim tribes in Yathrib, some Jewish tribes in Yathrib, and there were also pagan members of that Ummah, like Abbas, his uncle, and others. And this Ummah agreement was also joined by some Christians from Yemen. So what I'm trying to study and why I am here to learn more from you and from your organization on this issue is what is the genuine teaching of Quran and Sunnah on the proper social order. Is it more in the line of Medina Constitution or is it the global Islamic state?
Yes, of course, unity is essential, because I know you're struggling for unity. We are doing the same thing.
Yes.
Because that's an order from Allah. Allah says, do not separate.
Yes.
And because of the fragmentation and division, all these problems emerge in the Islamic world and all around the world, actually. For peace, Unity of Muslims is essential. Mm-hmm. Also, an alliance and unity with three Abrahamic religions, Christianity and Judaism, is also essential to bring peace. Because according to Quran, and our Prophet did the same way, the people of the book have to be treated with compassion, mercy, love. Allah says the monasteries, churches, synagogues, and the mosques where Allah's name is mentioned much are under the protection of Allah. And Allah says for the people of the book, argue with them only in the kindest way. Mm-hmm. So, and also invite them to the oneness of Allah, inshallah. This is what needs to be done.
I fully agree with that. So that's why I'm so amazed why the radical Islamist teaching on global jihad and global Islamic State is becoming so much more popular among young generation of young Muslims in Northern Caucasus, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Palestine, in Northern Africa. If the teaching of Quran on this issue is so obvious and there is no nothing really secret about it, then the question is why the radical Islamism is growing instead of being stopped by the alims who should explain to the young Muslims what is right, what is wrong.
Because there is an underlying an ideology which caused degeneration in the Islamic world. Mm-hmm. Islamic countries, they became Marxist, materialist and Darwinist. Iraq, Saddam regime, mm-hmm. Ba'ath Party is Marxist regime, as you know, Arab, yes, socialism. Mm-hmm. Nasser, Egypt, Arab socialism, again Marxism. Mm-hmm. Gaddafi was a Marxist. Palestine, mm-hmm. George Habash was a Marxist. Mm-hmm. There was a Marxist revolution in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Even in Iran, Tudeh Party, the Communist Party of Iran, did the Communist Revolution with Marxist Revolution with Khomeini. Khomeini, mm-hmm. was sent from France. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the major causes of this radicalism and extremism. People stayed away from religion, they became Marxist, and then they became closer to Islam, and then they became radicals, mm-hmm. very radical and very extremist, mm-hmm. which is against the Quran, actually. So what needs to be done, we need to do an intellectual struggle and teach these people, to treat them with compassion and mercy, mm-hmm. and to teach them. And our collaboration is very important in that matter, actually.
Yes, I'm certainly convinced that the only way to find a solution to this problem is an intellectual solution.
Yes. Yeah.
Only by finding a truth, proving a truth with Quran and Sunnah, this issue can be resolved.
Yes, exactly.
And the wrong teachings and a lot of innovations which entered the history of Muslims since the creation of Caliphate, when the Medina constitution and the original Ummah was dissolved, created those divisions into parties which fight each other, like already the original conflict between the Kharijis and the Sunnis and the Shias about the power in Caliphate. Mm-hmm.
Well, 20th century was a century of deaths, wars, bloodshed, terrorism, mm-hmm. anarchism, racism, communism, mm-hmm. fascism has emerged in 20th century. Inshallah, we believe in Islamic sources, in also Christian sources, and Judaic resources. We're living in the specific times, inshallah, and there will be a good morality, religious morality will prevail, mm-hmm. the world, inshallah. There will, mm-hmm. be unity of the Muslims. And there will be a return to back to the age of the bliss, like in the time of our Prophet. That's what, yes. you're trying to, mm-hmm. do, actually. Age of the bliss, inshallah. And we will see this soon, inshallah.
Inshallah, we will see it in our lifetime. But even if we don't see it in our lifetime, but our children, grandchildren or their grandchildren will see it, it will be a great gift from Allah.
Inshallah. And you're very young. Inshallah, we all together see it. Inshallah. It was a great pleasure and honor to have you. Hope you're coming back, inshallah.
Yes,
and
I'm.
We need you back. We
will
collaborate, inshallah.
Yes.
Inshallah. Thank you very, very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you.